How's it going, everyone? It is once again me, Chewy, and I am one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am happy to announce that my co-host Mariah is back. How's it going, Mariah?
It's going good. I'm getting better.
I'm sure glad you are, because last time you couldn't join us because you were sick, and I'm happy that you're feeling better.
Yes, yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, I miss horror and speaking horror.
Well, it's good that you're back. So before we get into the topic of today's episode, we should remind our listeners that we have social media accounts, so they can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. And the easiest way to find all those links is to go to the Linktree page, and that is linktree.com/myths behind LGDS. And an even easier way to access that is to go to our Anchor or Spotify profiles, and the link is pasted on our podcast description, so you can just link under and access all the social media, the online store, which we have merchandise for sale, by the way. And yeah, it's fun stuff overall. And you can also email us and write us about what you think about what the podcast episodes, if you like them, if you don't like them, if you have recommendations for topics or movies, we are welcome to suggestions. So yeah, send us those if you want. Mariah, what is the topic of today's episode?
So today we are going to be talking about scary stories to tell in the dark film.
Chan, chan, chan. So first things first, I got to ask you, and I think I know what the answer to this will be, but did you ever read the books?
Yes, I own all of them.
Oh, nice. I've been trying to track them down, and I found some of them on the internet, but they were kind of expensive.
You know, I actually got mine at a book fair, and they were, like, really cheap. And so, yeah. But the original ones, those are hard to find.
Yeah, because the original ones, it's not a tangent, but it's kind of a side story. Because when I first read the books, I was in elementary, and I had literally just moved here to the U.S., so my grasp of English was not the best at that first year that I was here. And so the only reason why I checked the books out is because I thought they looked cool.
That's so cool. Like, as a child, just like looking at the covers.
Yeah, the pictures. I mean, the pictures were awesome. I, to this day, I think that's some of the creepiest, best art and horror that I've ever seen. I only understood like every third, fourth word in the stories. I mean, kind of just trying to piece together what they meant. And then by the time I moved on to middle school, I knew how to read and write and speak English quite a bit better to sixth grade. But I found, surprisingly enough, that the middle school library didn't have the books.
Wow. So it was like banned, kind of?
I don't know if they were banned or not, but they weren't available. And I asked them, and they were like, oh, we ordered those, but we never got them. And we'll just check up on that and see if we get them. But I don't think they ever did. I don't remember reading them anymore after elementary. So I only had a very limited experience with the books. So, I mean, I remember reading them and checking them out and stuff like that, but I didn't really grasp the stories completely. And over time, I guess I kind of forgot about them as I got older. I mean, I still thought about them, but I just didn't. It wasn't in the forefront of my mind. And then years went by, and then the movie came out a couple years ago, and I was like, oh, I remember those books. And then I looked for them online, and they were like $50 or something like that, something crazy.
Each? Yeah.
You know, so I was like, I don't know if I want to spend that much. I mean, I like them a lot, but but when you read the books, what was your impression of them?
Oh, it gave me, like, chills. I mean, so this was even scarier. I don't know if you remember, there was this one book. It's by Zanita Fowler, and it's called Ghost Stories of Old Texas. So that was probably, like, my second ghost, like, book that I've ever owned when I was a little girl. And so Scary Stories was actually scarier than the Ghost Stories of Old Texas. I was like, whoa, like, this over exceeds that. Like, I remember having nightmares about, like, this one story in Scary Stories where it's like a bride like plays hide and seek or something, and then she ends up in the trunk and like no one can find her, and she like dies and stuff. So yeah, it was just like it terrified me as a child, where I was like, I don't ever want to go inside a trunk and play hide and seek.
Oh no. From the ones in the movie, I mean, I'm kind of jumping a little bit ahead here, but from the, I remember how many, I think one. No, I remember two of them, but I won't say which ones until we actually talk about the movie. But I do remember two from the books that I read. So when I saw them on the screen, I was like, hey, I remember that story vaguely, but I did remember it and what happened. So I was kind of excited about that.
Aww,
It kind of took me
that's so
back.
exciting.
Took me back about 25 plus years back to when I was like 10, 11 years old reading those
Yeah, it's so
books.
interesting because, you know, like it's so cool like growing up with these stories and actually seeing it like play out on screen. It's just like, oh, gooey, it was so amazing. I loved it.
All right, so I guess we can jump into the scenes.
So what was your favorite, like your first favorite scene?
Basically, I like the whole movie quite a bit, but I can't say the whole movie because I mean, yeah, I can, but for the purposes of this, I kind of have to narrow it down a little bit, don't I? So,
Yeah.
I mean, at the beginning, I liked the fact that the whole Halloween thing they have going on, and mind you, I think this movie set what in the 50s?
Yeah, 68,
Okay, the
actually.
60s. So it kind of gave me It vibes also in a way because,
Yes. Yeah.
yeah, for like the original It because and the book because the original It and the book are set in the late 50s, early 60s for when they're kids, and then in the 80s when they're adults. So it kind of took me back to that quite a bit. And it's a group of kids that are kind of just going through the motions and basically coming of age, kind of. And they're dealing with stuff around them, so stuff that a lot of people deal with when they're kids, bullies, and not only that, but also social issues. And we'll get into those as we talk about the scenes. But there's a lot going on in the world, even though it's a small town and it kind of looks like it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, we all kind of live in a town like that, I guess, at some point in our lives.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So my first, or the first thing that I want to talk about is when they're getting together for Halloween, and Augie is dressed like this weird clown thing that he calls a Pierrot or something. I don't know what that is, but it looks like a weird white suit with like black little puffy balls, and then the hat is like a yeah and. Everyone calls him a clown because he's like, I'm not a clown, I'm a Pierrot. So it's that. And then the other guy, he wanted to be Spider-Man, and his mom made him actually an actual spider costume. That
Oh, man.
Oh man, can you imagine? I mean, because back then, I mean, it's the 60s, so I mean, Spider-Man comics are pretty new, I guess.
Yeah.
And so the parents weren't really aware of what Spider-Man was to the point that some parents might be in the modern day. So the lady actually made him a spider costume. This guy looks like a spider, and I thought it was hilarious. And the girl didn't really dress up as anything, did she?
I don't think so.
She kind of just went as
No.
with regular
Yeah.
clothes, and she kind of has this like this I don't mean to say it in a bad way, but she kind of looks like a sheepish kind of girl, like bookwormish, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, like the
Kind of.
aesthetic
Yeah,
of
so
it, like a mini librarian or
yeah, exactly.
something.
She looks like a really young librarian. So I guess,
Yeah.
you know, that might have been her costume. So that whole first scene where they're getting together and well, they get the surprise for the bullies ready also. And I'm not gonna say what that I mean, yeah, it's so yeah, I mean there's just kids being kids getting ready for a big night, quote unquote. I mean it's Halloween, so it's probably one of the biggest nights in their town. And so they're gonna go out trick-or-treating, and then they run into the bullies, and that's when they throw the surprise at them, which turns out literally to be a flaming bag of crap.
Yes.
So it causes their car to set on fire, and then, unbeknownst to one of the kids, I think his name is Chuck, right? That's his sister with the guys in the car.
Believe so, yeah. Ruth
Sister
was Chuck's
Ruth.
sister. Yes.
Yeah, so she's the one riding in the car with them, and so she's there with when the whole poop incident takes place.
Yeah.
And so that I'm gonna kind of wrap it up here because I'm kind of going over the movie. But basically, that whole scene, like that whole aesthetic of kids being kids and getting ready and hanging out with their friends and just chilling and just basically coming of age, and that takes me back. I mean, we've talked about this already, I think, in a different episode.
Yeah, just like the what is it? Nostalgic?
The nostalgia, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, I just like, I don't know, like it reminds you kind of, it takes you back to like the smell of Halloween and like fall. Oh, that's like the best smell ever. So I would probably say like my ultimate favorite scene from this movie that I actually was like, it actually terrified me because I have so many, and I used to have so many growing up as like a teen. So it was like really, really scary. So it had to do with the spider sit girl
Oh, yeah.
in the restroom. And just like, I don't know, like it's so like painful, like a pimple and just and all that pus and just like the inflammation too, like around it and stuff. Like I've had those before as a teenager and I was like in pain. But I think I would be more terrified if like spiders came out.
Oh,
And I've
definitely.
had a spider bite before and that was painful.
What kind of spider was it?
It was one of like those like little house ones, I think. But yeah, I remember I had the bite on my like forehead or whatever. It was like near my eye, so like my eye was like puffy,
Oh man.
and it was terrible because I had school the next day, and I was like,
Wow.
oh no. And yeah, it was funny. But yeah, I mean, I love it because it's so gross looking. I don't know, like those weird like YouTube videos, like those pimple poppers. Like I don't know, it's just like so gross. And even in Dr. Pimple Popper, like her videos are kind of satisfying, but still so gross. And yeah, I just like I love it. Like I don't know, it's just like something satisfying about it, like popping a pimple. And it's really disgusting.
I was gonna say, like, I'm not gonna judge you here, but why do you watch those? If you think they're gross, why do you watch them?
Well, I think it's because it's more of like the ASMR,
Okay.
like the tools, and also like the noise of the pimple popping. I don't know. I know it sounds disgusting, but it's like kind of cool. But that was definitely my favorite. Just because, I have like a little bit of trauma with that as a teen. And it's painful having acne. And I just, oh man, especially spiders. I would be more terrified if like roaches came
Oh, nah,
out of the
yeah, no.
school. Oh
Well,
yeah, like,
anything.
oh no.
I mean,
Yeah.
anything in general. I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of bugs, so anything from spiders to cockroaches to flies, I just hate it. I hate all of them.
So that scene, right? It kind of reminded me of like a real life story that actually did happen. I don't know if it was in America or not, but there was this lady and she, I think she was like at her job or something. She was sending out a letter. And so she licked the envelope. And later on, she actually grew, she had spider eggs or something like that on her
That
tongue.
is gross. Oh
Yeah. And that actually did happen,
my God,
which is
that's
really
terrible.
scary. I would be so scared. But yeah. So now I just like ever since I heard that story on the news, I like always like tap the water on the envelope now.
Yeah,
And that's what
wow.
that scene also reminds me of, like it can probably happen.
Oh man, do you think that happened before this book was made?
I don't know. I mean, well, no, I mean like the actual experience, because I know the books were made in the early, like what, like in the 19, not
No, I think it was in
1900s.
something in the 80s, no?
Yeah, I think so. This took place, I think, 2010.
Oh, okay.
So it definitely happened after. But I can't imagine of, how that story got inspired because something similar could have happened before they wrote the book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that definitely can happen, I think.
Wow. And I think scary stories in general, like urban legends, for example, they're always based on something that was true, but that's been exaggerated many times over.
Yeah.
So maybe somebody did, in fact, grow spiders under their skin or something. And the creepiest thing that I've heard before we close this little tangent off here. But the creepiest thing that I heard is that somebody had a roach inside their ear, and I thought that was gross.
Oh, I feel like I watched that.
No.
Yeah. Like on Discovery Channel
Yeah,
or something.
I'd be like, no, just like burn my head off. Be like, I don't know what the hell. No.
It's so
I
gross.
will never be able to sleep
Oh.
ever again in my life, I don't think. After that.
It's like open.
Yeah, no, gross. But going back a little bit, the other scene that I thought was interesting was right after the one that I said, when the bullies are chasing the kids down to the drive-in, and they hide in this other dude's car named Ramon. I think his name is Ramon in the movie. And
Yes.
he hides him, and then of course you see the social tension. I mean, you see it a lot less now. You still see it though, which is kind of sad. But back then, I mean, it was more common. So they kind of talk down to him because of his ethnicity, kind of. And even the cops too, like throughout the course of the movie, they always act like he's some sort of criminal, like without even knowing anything about him. And of course, later on, you find out why they're after him. But yeah. So then they go to explore the house right after that, as they're running away from the bullies. They go to watch the house, and it turns out that it's allegedly a haunted house in their town that belonged to this family. And so they go in there and they start exploring, and eventually the bully catches up with them and he locks them inside the house. And after a while, they're able to escape. But chan chan chan, the girl, the librarian girl, Stella is her name, I think. She ends up taking a book from the house. So, what book is this? Chan chan chan. It's the book with the scary stories.
Yes.
So, what would you think, or what would you do rather, if you have a notebook or a diary or something, and then you notice stuff starts like being written on it by itself?
Oh, geez. I would definitely think like witchcraft. Or not witchcraft, but I don't know, like voodoo or something. I don't know.
And not only that, but the stuff that's being written in the book is coming true.
Oh my gosh. I would just die. Be like, no, please don't.
Essentially, what the book that Stella took is the book that belonged to the girl that lived in that house. And if I remember correctly, the girl was who wrote the book originally. She was accused of being a witch or something like that for having killed a lot of kids in the town. And that's basically the legend. And then as the movie progresses, you know, towards the end, you find out what the real story is. But as of this point in the movie, everyone thinks that this lady's a witch and that she killed a lot of kids for her spells or whatever. And that is the reason why the house is haunted. But so they take the book, and then weird stuff starts happening to the people in town. So, do you have another scene that you might want to talk to us about?
The scarecrow
Oh, yeah.
one. Oh man. Now that one was that just it looked, I mean, they did an amazing job with like the makeup and they made it look so realistically in the film. I remember the boy, like he had it's like hay in his mouth and in his ears. I literally thought for a second they were gonna like pop out of his eyes. I don't know. I don't think they did. But I mean, can you imagine? Oh, it was just so scary. So it was like kind of like in a nearby cornfield. Tommy was being stalked by Harold. So the scarecrow came to life? And then the creature like stabbed him with a pitchfork and stuff, and it really got like not violent, but it just got like intense,
Yeah,
if
yeah.
anything.
It was a very creepy moment in the movie, I think. And if I'm not mistaken, this movie was rated what, PG-13? PG, was it P or R? I can't
I don't
remember.
know.
But in either way, I mean, it's a pretty unnerving scene because I mean, this dude has issues, clearly, the bully kid. He likes to beat up on the scarecrow for some reason, I guess, to let out his anger. And so he's doing this after he locked the people in the house, in the haunted house. And then the scarecrow comes to life. And it starts to chase him around in the cornfield. And then it finds him. And you think that, well, he stabs him with a pitchfork and that'll be the end of that. I mean, he'll die for that reason. But actually, his death was caused by all the hay that came out of his own body. And that looks pretty horrific, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
So.
he ends up becoming the scarecrow himself. So what happened to the original scarecrow then? Did he leave on vacation or
I know, right? Like, went in incognito.
what? Because after he stabs the kid, the bully becomes a scarecrow. So I wonder what happens to the other one. This and do they now have two scarecrows, or does the other one leave forever, or?
Yeah.
I
I
don't know, it's kind of a
know.
question that I had in mind about
Yeah,
that.
you are right. PG-13.
Oh, okay.
It was PG-13. For it to be PG-13, it was intense.
I think so. I mean, I think
There were some
it's
scenes where I was like, whoa.
yeah. So incidentally, this one was one of the stories that I remembered in the books.
Oh,
The
okay.
scarecrow story. I remember reading about it and just looking at the picture in the book. So when I saw the image on the screen, I was like, hey, that image looks really familiar. And then it kind of started coming back little by little, and I remember reading that but not understanding it completely back then. But now I get it. So yeah, that was one of the two scenes that I remembered from the books in the movie. All right, so there's another scene that I want to talk about, and I think this movie is creepy because it's got a lot of gross scenes in it. I'm pretty particular when it comes to a lot of stuff, and food is one of them. So, when the next story is written, it's about the big toe. And this dude, Augie, finds this stew in his refrigerator or something, and he's home alone and he's hungry. So he decides to heat up this stew. And as he's heating it up, this huge toe appears inside of it, and I was like, So then he actually ends up eating it, right? That is gross. So as he's doing this, his friends are trying to find a way to warn him. And mind you, again, this movie's set in the 60s. So there's no texting him, there's no calling him on the cell phone, because that doesn't exist yet.
It's kind of like you're trying to get through them through your landline.
Yeah. That's basically the only line of communication. Landlines. So they're trying to find a way to warn him, and when they can't, they kind of just rush to his house, and he starts hearing a voice inside his house. And he's like, what the hell? And then he starts getting stalked by this weird looking, it's kind of like a lady, right?
Kind of. Well, it looks a little bit like that.
I don't know, it kind of looks at me like a lady or something. And so it's basically stalking him, and he locks himself in his room and he hides under his bed, hoping that that'll be enough, but that's never enough. I mean, it's kind of easy to judge movie characters for making dumb decisions like
Oh
that.
yeah, of course.
Because realistically, I mean, if you lock yourself in a room with only one point of entry and exit, when they don't see you in there, they're gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna give up and walk away now. Like, they're not gonna do that. They're gonna search for you in that room.
like you're trying to, you know, find a solution. It's like,
So, of course, he doesn't hear any more noise, and he starts to kind of poke his head out from under the bed, and that's when the corpse catches him and takes him to, I don't know, Oblivion, some sort of dark dimension type of place. So I thought that's pretty scary. I mean, the chase scene, that whole part of it is pretty creepy, but I thought the worst part was when he ate the toe. I was like, ugh.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've had very bad experiences, and I'm sure you probably have too, like at eating places and like you accidentally eat something that wasn't supposed to be in there.
The worst that I, or I mean the most common rather that I can think of is hair. And that's
Really?
that. I
Hair?
mean,
Huh.
I've seen people who post pictures of, I was eating at so and so place and I found a roach, or I found a piece of a rat or whatever the hell. And that's pretty unnerving.
Oh.
But to me, the luckily, thankfully, so far the only thing that's happened is I found hair, but even that's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where that hair came from.
Did it make you like uneasy or like,
Oh, I mean,
I mean,
yeah, I
'cause you
mean,
had it in your mouth, right?
that's happened to me at home. When I make my food and then I eat something and it's like, but I'm okay because it's mine, you know, I'm the one making my own food. But at the restaurant, I saw it in my dish and I was like, I'm not gonna eat this, I'm sorry. And I called the waitress over and I was like, and you know, the thing is, you have to be polite about it. I mean, because I don't know. But what I did was, hey, you know what? Look, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be, you know, a Karen. But I found this in my plate and I don't want to eat this anymore. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we can replace the plate. And I was like, no, you know what? I'm just gonna like not eat anymore. I'm sorry, I'm good. They're like, oh, are you sure? Because we can do give you a complimentary meal, so we're not gonna charge you. And I was like, no, you know, that's not really the issue. I just don't want to eat here anymore.
Yeah, especially like going through that. I think for me, there was this favorite McDonald's that I used to go to all the time. Like, it was my number one favorite. And I loved it so much. And so I remember I was traveling to Houston, and there was this one, like, I had never been to it, but I was like really excited about, you know, getting an iced coffee. So I got the iced coffee. And I'm just like over here thinking, you know, it's gonna taste so good, like the one from back home, which is like a couple hours away. So, you know, I started drinking it. And then I noticed there's like blood gushing out of my mouth.
Oh my God.
I
What happened?
was like, I was chewing on a dead like fly.
Oh, gross.
And it was in the coffee.
That's
And after
disgusting.
that, it took me a long, it actually took me maybe about close to 10 years to go back to McDonald's and get
Wow.
an iced coffee.
I never would have gone back to McDonald's after that.
I was like so grossed out. And I remember I messaged them and I was like, oh my gosh, there was a fly.
Oh.
And it was weird because, you know, when you drink your, you know, drink or whatever through a straw, you're like swallowing, you know, your coffee or whatever. And then, so I guess I kind of like bit down or something, and there was like blood coming out, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is it? And then like I remember getting it out of my mouth, and it was so gross.
That sounds pretty disgusting, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So when the boy was taking out the toe, I was picturing the fly. Yeah,
Oh man.
I was like, oh no, I've had that experience. It was disgusting, but it wasn't as big, you know what I mean? Like that poor dude
Yeah.
had like a big old hole. Big one.
I think this movie hit you on a personal level then, didn't
Yes, it
it?
did. Because it gave me like the chills where I was like, ew, this is so gross.
Oh my God, that's disgusting. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you went through that. Because I never would have gone back to any McDonald's anywhere in the world after having gone through that experience, but yeah, I mean,
It was crazy, but I gave them a second chance.
okay.
So, yeah. And I probably won't ever go to that one in Houston ever
Oh no, it's gross.
again.
So, you got another scene for us you want to talk about?
So, yeah, I already talked about, of course, the spider bite, which is the next one that happens, I believe, kind of like after this one.
Yeah, I think that's the next one.
So that was one of them. So the next one actually follows it, which is the electroshock therapy.
Oh yeah.
So that was pretty interesting, just because it's like, I wonder, is it like, who is talking to her? Talking to Stella? Because it looked like the radio, not the radio, what is it? It had like that big. There's like a lot of like things that like I don't know the name of that I'm trying to explain. It looks like a music. Yeah, and it has like almost like a horn. And so I wonder, was that thing like talking to her?
They went to the hospital, right? And
Yes.
they're well, see, here's the thing. That was a record player. And
Okay.
those little things that they put on there, that's how people would record stuff back then. Into those.
Oh, okay. Well, I learned something.
That was an actual voice. If I remember the scene correctly, I think it's like a little black thing they put on the thing, right?
Yes.
So those were some of the first ways to record anything. So I'm not
Wow.
sure how the process worked exactly. I just call it witchcraft because I can't think of how you can
Yeah.
yeah, record something onto like a black cylinder and then just play the grooves and it'll play the sound back to you. That to me, that's I've never been able to understand how that worked. Even with records, with vinyl records, I don't know how they managed to save sound onto a piece of plastic. That's not with a CD, because with a CD you can get it. It's a laser thing, it's a digital thing. But back then, the music was actually basically scratched into a piece of vinyl. And when you put the needle on the record player, that's how the music came out. So it's
Wow.
like wizardry, witchcraft stuff. So
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're saying that they're talking about how they gave this lady shock therapy, right?
Yes. Because apparently they were trying to get her to tell the truth about, I guess, like, the kids, in the beginning of the story,
Yeah.
how it takes us back to like where are the kids, because the kids disappeared, and they accused her of, maybe killing those kids or using them. So I believe, and it's kind of sad actually, being tortured by your own family.
Yeah.
It's on another level when it's, especially it's your blood.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that was kind of interesting. I really loved that scene. Because I was like, oh, that is so interesting. Because I collect a lot of like antique stuff, and I always get scared with like radio, like old school radios, because I'm all like, I wonder if it's haunted. Because I've had one before that I'm actually, I don't know if I mentioned it before, where I heard somebody's voice
And it
before.
was turned off.
No, I turned it on, but it sounded like, it almost sounded like the, like how in the movie was, like someone's trying to
Oh,
talk to
okay.
you. Yeah. So I've had that experience before. So that just gave me like kind of chills, because I was like, oi, I've kind of experienced this before, and I don't know. It sounded like somebody was trying to make contact, but it was like an old lady and stuff, like really raspy, like saying hello and stuff,
Oh,
and
so it's like they
ugh.
was actually talking to you directly. Wow.
So yeah, I've shared, actually I have shared the story before on one of the episodes. It
Oh,
was the Donkey Lady Bridge, the story.
yeah.
Yeah, so through the radio, it was really scary. So yeah, so that's what that kind of reminded me of, like, and I don't know, like, it's so interesting how, you know, like, what if there's like another side and they can communicate through that. And so it was really cool to see it play in this movie. Yeah, so I really loved that part. I was like, I love this bringing attention to that because it is really interesting. It's like, is it a myth? Or, I don't know.
We've talked about how we believe in supernatural stuff, and I think there is something out there that we don't quite understand. Me personally, I think that's the case. And maybe through technology, because you always hear about people going to haunted houses and they record these sounds, or they capture images in like the UV cameras or the, what is it, the heat vision or the night vision cameras, whatever. And I think some of that stuff is true. Not everything, because I think the other thing is that some people make stuff up, unfortunately, and they try to take advantage of
Oh,
people.
yeah.
And so that's
Yeah.
why it's difficult to trust some of these people when they present something like that, because you don't know if they faked it or if it's an actual thing that may have happened or not.
Yeah.
So,
So
but
it is sad.
yeah, but for the record, I do think that there's something out there. I mean, there has to be.
Yeah, especially, you know, anything that's electric.
As humans, I mean, we are basically, we do everything we do because of electricity in our brain.
Yeah. Oh man, that's like mind-blowing. Just think of it in that way.
Anything, as far as if you're able to walk around and move and jump around, that's just your brain sending electrical signals to your nerves to make those movements. Right? So, and just to wrap this up, I don't want to go into this rabbit hole right now.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, this is so cool. Now I'm seeing it in a different light
Because
now.
that's something that we can probably cover in a topic by itself, or in an episode by itself, this topic. But basically, I think that whenever a person dies, that energy has to go somewhere. It can't just stay like or disappear. Because one of the main ideas in science and physics is that energy can be destroyed. It just changes form. And that's an actual scientific theory. So, and not that they're talking about a person's energy, but they're talking about energy like as far as the stars and stuff like that. But I do think that that could also apply to people. That's what I'm trying to say here. That same idea where energy can't be destroyed, it just changes form. I think that could very well also apply to people in real life, in the sense that when somebody dies, that energy they have stored in their body, their brain, that, I mean, I don't know if their consciousness necessarily, but just the energy itself has to go somewhere and just lingers in a space, or I don't know. But I think we got a topic here for a future episode, Maria.
Yes, definitely. I love that one.
So, I mean, but this all ties in with the movie because that's what they're doing. I mean, they're giving shock therapy to this lady and trying to convince her to, I think what happened is that her family owns a business and they're poisoning the water. And that makes a lot of people in the town fall ill. So she finds out the truth and she's gonna report him to the police, but they catch her, and that's when they try to make her say that it's not, that it's her fault or something, that she's a witch or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty intense, like you were saying earlier. I think it's horrible when a person's family hurts them like that. But right after that, what happens is they're in the hospital, and the other kid, Chuck, is trapped in this room, or this hallway rather, with this weird looking lady. And that lady looks creepy. I mean, if something like that was chasing me around my house, I think I would just die of a heart attack.
It looks very tall. Yeah. Yeah, she looks very, very tall. Like,
Yeah, the whole sequence was like when he's trying to run away from her, and the hallway just he opens the door and he finds her in the other end, and it was right behind him right before that. And then at the end, he's surrounded by like four of them.
and the way she like absorbs him too.
She kind of just hugs him against her, right? Just like.
Yeah. And you know, so that scene, I love that scene, but the movie, they made her kind of like a scary character because in the book, she is actually like a good spirit who is supposed to warn him of danger, actually. So it's kind of like a flip where they kind of flipped it a little bit. And in the movie, she's actually like really, kind of scary and actually like is evil. You know, she takes a sow, eats him up. Or I don't know how she eats him. Well, I guess I don't know how she did it. It's like she became like four, duplicate herself and then just like, multiplied herself and then just like absorbed him. And was just like she looked like she was enjoying the
Oh yeah.
meal,
Yeah.
in the end. But yeah, so it is kind of like a different thing where I was like, oh hey, they flipped that one. Because I remember in the book, she's supposed to be like this kind of like, a premonition to tell the guy like, hey, there's danger near. So she's a good spirit in the book and the story. So it is a little different. It gave me like the creeps watching the film because I was like, oh wow, this is different. Well, that was really interesting to see. And I really loved the way they did that and stuff because I was not expecting it at all.
I didn't know that the spirit was actually meant to be a good spirit in the book, so that's interesting when they flip the script on you like that, kind of.
Yeah, I'm just kind of taken by surprise and just like it's more exciting because you're like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? Or I didn't expect that. So yeah, I really loved it. But just like, and also too, like in the hallway, how it's so like red.
Oh
The
yeah.
lights are all red, and oh man,
Yeah, the whole
I like,
aesthetic.
I would die. I loved that one.
That scene, for some reason, not that I've seen a lot of Asian horror movies, but it kind of gave me Asian horror movie vibes for some reason.
Yeah,
Like the ring kind
like
of.
Ringu.
Yeah,
Yeah, Ringu. Yeah, like back in the day, I believe that's actually one of my favorite movies. The first time I ever watched it was in 2002 when it actually came out and stuff. But I think it was made in the 90s originally, definitely gave me those vibes from the actual original film. Because she's kind of like dressed in white. She has the long black hair, just like really like pale looking, and she almost looks like she got out of a well because her hair is kind of like it looks kind of wet in a way. Like I don't know, in some angles it looks like wet. So yeah, I was like, oh, I really loved that too. I was like, oh, this is so. I love watching horror movies that remind me of like of The Ring, or yeah. So I love it so much. It's my favorite.
For some reason, this scene gave me those vibes, and I don't know if it was the colors of the hallway, like so the big red and like the intense of the red, intensity rather,
Yes.
of the red. And then at the end, of course, I mean her look in general, she look like white figure with dark hair. It's basically what Samara from The Ring is in the movie. And then yeah, just kind of the way she surrounds him and eats him and just like like walks away happily, like. Yeah, so I don't know, that's kind of a very creepy scene I thought from the movie. And so you got another one for us, Mariah?
Yes, so that one is followed by the, I don't know if I'm, hopefully I'm saying it right, but it's by the Jangly Man. Apparently, Stella and Ramon, they get arrested, after this whole hospital scene and stuff. So they get arrested for trespassing by Police Chief Turner. I was kind of confused with this one about the police chief kind of like saying that Ramon was a draft dodger or something. Not sure.
Yes, it's because it's a small town, so they basically know everybody. They know every kid that lives in that town. So they spot this kid that's not from there, from around the area. So that's kind of why they start suspecting him. And around this time that the movie's set in the late 60s, that's when the war was going on in Vietnam. And from what I remember, I had family members, by the way, who fought in Vietnam. And some of my dad's cousins, actually. And what happened back then is that basically the army sent you a letter and you had to go. It's not like today where you voluntarily sign up for the army.
Right. Okay, so if you don't go.
You're a draft dodger, and you basically became a criminal. Even if you weren't in the army, you could be a person working at a factory or working somewhere else, and if you got that letter from the army, that meant you had to go sign up. Because basically, they called it the draft, and I guess what happened was, what I imagine is, they basically just drew names from a list, and if somebody's name came up, then they sent that person a letter, and they're like, "Hey, you've been drafted by the U.S. Army, join us to fight this war over there."
Wow. And so it was kind of like you had no choice
Exactly. I
kind
mean,
of
you had the
thing.
choice of running
Wow.
away, but then you became a criminal, and then
Yeah.
you went to jail for that if
Wow.
you didn't go.
Yeah, so I remember, so yeah, so they get arrested and stuff for trespassing, of course, Ramon, the draft dodger. I don't know, I think they noticed the dog is like acting strange, so they're pleading the police officer to let them out. And I guess because they can sense that danger was like nearby. It was so creepy, like seeing the head come out of nowhere. The, what is it, like dismembered head, just, and it looks so creepy, just like it talking,
Oh yeah.
like the jangly man just like talking, and it's just a head, but it looks so real. I don't know if, have you ever seen The Unborn?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, that's a good one. So that movie came out in 2009. And so this one, Jangly Man, Police Turner is like trying to, I guess, shoot it, nothing's happening, he's still talking. And then the rest of his like body parts start like where are they coming from? Like who's throwing them? And it's so cool to see like his body parts just like coming in, on the floor. And then they start like attaching to the head. So there's a scene there where he's trying to get his body to kind of almost stand, but he kind of looks like he's like standing like a dog at one point, right? So, and his head is like upside down. So that reminded me of the Unborn movie, and it's kind of like it almost looks like a demonic dog, and so it looks just like that, the Jangly Man, like that one scene where he's all in force on the floor, and his head is like upside down. That's exactly how this like demonic thing is in the Unborn, and so apparently it's I know this scene, a lot of people have said that they've seen something very similar. So it is like, one of the other legends, like they have seen almost like a dog, like with its head upside down that almost looks human like too, but it's like standing like a dog, like on all fours, and it's actually demonic and
Wow.
stuff. So I really loved this scene because it reminded me of this other movie that I absolutely love called The Unborn. And it looked just like the scene too, because it had like the blue hues kind of and stuff. And that's exactly how it was also in The Unborn as well. But I feel like the Scary Stories one, it makes it look more human-like. So that's even terrifying. But I really loved that scene. And then so he ends up killing Turner by breaking his neck. And then he's trying to kill Ramon too.
Yeah, they escape, and I think it's raining outside, no? I think it's raining outside, and this thing chases them into the street, and then they run it over with a truck, I think, or a car.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They run it over, but it doesn't die. It kind of just, they stop it for a few minutes, but it gets out from there. Like, it can't be
Yeah.
killed. It can't die. Un
Oh.
until it takes the person that he's looking for, and he's looking for Ramon, so. That's when they use that time for, the next scene that happens is when they go to the haunted house again. And it kind of splits into a different. Like, Stella goes back in time, like in a flashback or something like that. And Ramon is trying to hide from this thing in the house. And so Stella is transported back to the 60s when, or not the 60s rather, but I think the 30s or 20s, whatever. And she sees how this lady's being blamed for, quote unquote, being a witch when in fact it's her family that's polluting the water with stuff like that. So she sees how this lady's tortured, and her name is Sarah, by the way. The
Yeah. Sarah Bellows.
bellows, yeah, the
Yeah.
witch, quote unquote, the witch. But
Yes.
what happened is that, yeah, her family basically made her take the blame for what they were doing. So her spirit is kind of now trying to avenge whatever happened to her by killing people. I guess so. It's kind of like she became evil in death because she was mistreated so badly in life, kind of thing. So eventually, what happens is Stella talks to her. She finds this secret room where she's hiding in the flashback. And she tells her that she'll tell her story, that she will write about what really happened if she promises to stop her scary stories from being written, from killing people.
Yeah.
So at the end, that's exactly what happens. She lets them go. So the jangly man disappears and Ramon is saved, and so is Stella. And she goes back to her own time. And she writes an article about what really happened in the town with the, I think they had a factory of some sorts, and how the water was being polluted and that Sarah was innocent. And I think in the voiceover she says that people didn't really believe her too much, that it's kind of just like whatever. But they're able to, Ramon goes back to war, by the way. He actually goes to the army. And so Stella gets picked up by her dad, and they actually pick up Chuck's sister also because she's now recovered. Because she, like, this whole time after that whole spider scene, Ruth had been in a mental hospital because she had just been so disturbed by what she lived through that she had just kind of just lost contact with reality for a few days. So now, at the very, very end, they're driving in the car. And Stella in the voiceover saying that she's gonna find a way to get her friends back. Because, I mean, the ending's kind of bittersweet if you think about it, because Ramon's out in the war, and you have no idea if he's gonna come back or not, really. And her two best friends are gone, and nobody knows where they're gone to. So she says she's gonna try to find a way to get him back, and that's basically how the movie ends. That she promises that she'll do whatever she has to do to get her friends back, and that's it. That's the movie. I
It was so good.
think it's a good movie. It's a good movie for everyone that likes horror, I think. I mean, if you're, I mean, it's always kind of hard to recommend the movie to someone because a lot of people have gotten really cynical over the years. So, I mean, and I include myself. I mean, I think I'm a little bit cynical. when somebody tells me to watch this movie, I'm like, eh, that movie sounds like it sucks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I do recommend this movie though for, I guess, young adults, teenagers. I mean, it's kind of a good way to introduce people to horror. It's not overly violent, but it is kind of creepy. It is a little bit disturbing. Some of the scenes are kind of gross. And basically, I mean, if you liked the books when you were young, I think you might like the movie. There's a good chance you will. And speaking of liking the movie, there are rumors of a sequel being made in the next couple of years, so we'll see if that actually comes true or not.
I'm so excited about that because I don't know, I really want to see. I don't know if you remember the meat story in the book.
I don't think so.
Okay, it's about a butcher, I think, and a butcher in the local town, and like people love his meat and stuff. And I'm not sure if he actually uses, I think he uses r real people or something like
Oh, wow.
that. And so I would love to kind of see how that one is used, or I don't know, I would love like that one to be the next one. I don't know, it's kind of cool. But yeah, I remember that one just kind of creeped me out because I've been to so many meat markets and I always get so scared with them.
Oh
And you're like, you never know, like, why does your meat taste so good? Well, because you know, it's like something I killed or something, or
it's a
you
rare
know.
cut.
Yeah, it's a rare cut. It's like, is it human? Which is really terrifying, actually.
Oh man.
But yeah, I kind of, it's really, really creepy. And yeah, it's just, oh man. And you know, back in the day, like butchers and meat markets, like that was scary. It's scary to think about it. But I would actually be really interested and seeing like a little scene about that one in the future if they were to make
A
one.
sequel.
Yeah.
So I mean, from what I'm reading here on the internet, I was looking that up real quick on my phone, and that as of recently as 2020, a sequel was announced. But of course, 2020 was when the whole thing started with the pandemic, and things didn't really get back to normal until maybe sometime late last year, kind of.
Right.
So if it doesn't say that they already started making it or not, but that it was announced and that they're hoping to make it sometime in the next couple of years. So, I wonder just really quick what the story to that would be, because if they already ended the story with this lady that she was the one responsible for creating these stories, I wonder what the next angle would be. I mean, it's gonna have to be something different.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like this one was more like a chapter ended, and now there's a new beginning somewhere. So that's really interesting to kind of see like what their creative writing is gonna look like and stuff.
All right, Maria, so I guess the time has come to give this movie a score out of 10. So let me see, for the units, what can we use? What can we use for the units? How about I don't know, I don't want to be gross.
Like pimples?
No,
No.
I was gonna go for the toes. How many big toes in soups? So how many bowls of soup with big toes in them out of 10 does this movie get?
I would probably definitely give it an 8.
An 8?
Yes.
I'm gonna agree with you. I think an 8 is it's good enough. I mean, it's a good movie. It's not an oh my god, it's so great movie, but I think it's really enjoyable for a rainy day. It's really enjoyable for someone that's maybe trying to get into horror without getting into a lot of gore and violence and stuff. This doesn't have that, but it does have a few scenes that are kind of gross. So if you're easily grossed out, be careful with that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I think it's a good movie. I think it's a cool addition to the horror genre. And I think, how do we want to do this? Because normally we give scores to the monsters, but this movie has three monsters, right? Or four.
Four, I think.
So how about we give them one score as an average? So all of them put together out of 10, how many skulls?
Ooh.
How creepy were these things? How scary were they?
As a whole, so,
Yeah, between the scarecrow and the white lady in the red room and then the jangly man, and then of course the spiders and the big
I
toe.
think I would give it a seven skulls.
Seven skulls? Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
for
go with
sure.
a little higher than you, give it an 8 on this. Because most of these monsters, you can't kill them, I don't think.
That's true. Like they can always come back.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't really think there's any way to stop them unless you stop the lady from writing the stories.
Right.
So if you try to, I don't know, I guess lay traps for them or shoot them or anything like that, that's not gonna work. It may slow them down for a little bit. But I do think that just that whole factor of them being unstoppable, that's kind of making them worth even 8 for me. So 8 skulls out of 10 for me, 7 from you. So is there anything, Mara, we need to add before we sign off for tonight?
Okay, so I did want to mention that there was a musical, just like a fun fact really quickly.
What?
And so the musical theme that plays throughout the movie is actually the Here song, which is another story from the books.
Really?
So yeah, that was really, really cool. I loved it. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
I never knew that.
So yeah, so I mean, if you're definitely a fan of like the books and stuff, I think people who are like, like super fans would actually really enjoy this movie. So that was, I really loved that. So yeah. And also too want to mention that I made like kind of like a recipe suggestion. Suggestion. And stuff. So it's kind of like just like a quick, easy, put, together. Probably will take you like 2 minutes probably to make it.
Oh, nice.
And it's really, really spooky.
All right, so having settled that, that was our episode on scary stories to tell in the dark. I had a lot of fun watching this movie more. I had already seen it, by the way, a couple times before this. But it was really fun revisiting this for the purposes of having a conversation with you about it.
Oh,
So
yeah.
it's really, really cool to find movies like this. And once again, I want to recommend it for people that may have not seen it yet. I do recommend it. I know all of us have our expectations about what a horror movie should be like, but try to think of it as maybe if you liked the shows Are You Afraid of the Dark or Goosebumps? Think of it like that, but a couple notches on the creepy factor and the gross factor, higher than those shows, I think.
Yeah,
So
for sure.
awesome, Mariah. Before we leave, we need to remind our listeners of our social media accounts. So we have our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. That you can find on our Linktree page, and that is linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds. An even easier way to find this is to go to our Anchor or Spotify profiles, and the link is pasted under, so on our description. So you can always find this. You can find links to, again, all of our social media, but also to our online store if you want to browse and maybe pick up a shirt or two along the way. And by all means, also go ahead and email us, write us what you think about the episodes, if you have suggestions for future topics, movies and or creepy urban legends. We can do either one. And I need to remind, I always forget to do this, but I need to remind people that they can give a leave, sorry, they can leave a review for us and whatever platform they're listening to us on. So by all means, go ahead and give us a 5-star review. Are we clear on what we're doing next week, Mariah? Not really, right?
No, not really. I'm excited though.
Since we just got back in the groove of things, since you had to be out for a few days, I think we can figure that out sometime over the next few days, and we'll get together and
Yes, I'm so excited.
for sure. So, all right, so that was our episode. Once again, thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate your support. And stay away from weird scarecrows in cornfields. Stay away from toes in bowls of soup. Spiders in your face, keep them away from there. That's not a fun thing. What else? Some weird deformed people crawling over the walls to eat you. Yeah, that's not cool either. Stay away from all those things. So until we see you on the next one, have a good one.
I like how you whispered. You're like, bye.